All right. You are listening to The Real World on CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting from the unceded territories of Musqueam people at the University of British Columbia. Welcome back to our show. If you don't know, the UBC Film Society hosts this radio show. So The Real World is part of the Film Society, and you can keep up to date with anything that's going on with the Film Society by checking out our Instagram page. So if you go to UBC Film Society on Instagram, that's where you'll find all of our events. We've got a crazy amount of stuff going on, like, this week and next week. So tonight, there's some screenings at the Norm Theater, which is located on campus in the Life Building. So at 6 p.m. today, October 23rd, we're having a special screening of 6 Latin American animated short films, followed by a Q&A with some filmmakers. And then tomorrow, we also have a horror movie double feature. We're playing Slashback at 6 p.m., followed by Night Raiders at 8 p.m. I haven't seen Slashback, but I've seen Night Raiders, and it's super awesome. It's like a dystopian, like, sci-fi horror. And then, just recently announced, we're doing Corpse Bride, I'm pretty sure, for our beer garden. I will abstain from mentioning that I was hoping it would be Hocus Pocus. But Corpse Bride it is. We're still very excited for it. Anyway, you should check out all those screenings. They're very awesome. We don't just have a radio show. We've got all of our events and pub nights and beer gardens. So highly recommend. I'm Lily, as usual. Emma, my co-host, is not here today. It's a very sad day. If you only log on to listen to Emma, you can now gracefully exit because she's not here. She's not coming. But we do have a very special guest today, UBC's very own co-workshop manager. Would you like to introduce yourself?
How's it going, Lily?
Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so happy to be here, man.
We've been trying to book Andreas to come on the show for a while now. We're very excited that it's finally worked out. He's a busy guy.
Yeah.
What can we say? But we're very glad to have you on now. We've got a very special topic for today's episode in the theme of October. Last week we did Rocky Horror. This week we're doing murder mysteries. Next week we're talking about some, like, just Halloween, like, I don't know, horror in general. But first, we're going to jump into some ads. So we will be back shortly after this ad break.
It is time to get your spook on. And there's nothing like getting spooky with a good horror film. And this time, Slashback is coming right at you on October 24th. Slashback is a horror film that features Micah and her ragtag group of friends as they take on an alien invasion in their tiny Arctic hamlet. And it's up to them to fight back using makeshift weapons and horror movie knowledge. Arts Indigenous Student Advising is putting on Slashback. A film directed by an Inuit director and set in Nunavut, the horror film will be playing at the Norm Theater this October 24th. Only $5 entry for public, and it's free for all UBC Indigenous students. Doors at 5:45 p.m. We'll see you at the Norm Theater this October 24th.
What a lovely Vancouver summer night. I can't wait to sit by myself at the beach and look at my phone. Huh? What's that?
Man, what are you doing? Get over here and come jam.
Wow, what a lovely assortment of musicians. What are you guys doing?
This is E-Studio. We come together and build connections over music. No musical experience needed. Just come socialize and build your confidence playing music if that's your thing.
Wow, this is so awesome. Now I have a real-life connections with Vancouver's international community of musicians and creatives. Thank you, E-Studio. E-Studio is an international jam group where we celebrate music from all around the world and play together. Follow us on Instagram at estudio.cafe. estudio.cafe.
The Bite Kitchen welcomes you to Access Night, a weekly event in the shop offering free tool rentals for queer and trans folks, with the purpose being to make bike mechanics more inviting and accessible to folks traditionally excluded from the industry. Visit the Bite Kitchen on Wednesdays from 6:15 to 9 p.m. located in the basement of the Life Building. We hope to see you there.
At Dunkin' Donuts, each and every
radio show
is brewed fresh and served fresh at the peak of its flavor. If you're a tough customer, only the taste of this
radio show
will do. So go ahead, let Dunkin' Donuts make your
radio experience
exquisite.
Indeed.
Dunkin' Donuts, serving sweet treats from the Pop Underground. Thursdays, noon to 1.
All right, we are back. Thanks for waiting. All right, today we are talking about murder mysteries. This topic was inspired by, we just screened some murder mysteries this week at The Norm, the best theater ever. So shout out Fernando is our film liaison who like...
And Wen.
Yeah, and Wen. But Fernando chose this week's.
Oh, wait, was he?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Because I tried to talk to Wen about it and she was like, I have no idea. I've never seen that movie. I was like, okay. So it was Fernando. Shout out to you.
Shout out.
He programmed this week's double feature, which was Bodies, 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 followed by Clue. And so we weren't really sure what we wanted to talk about. And boom, he gave us the best idea ever. So murder mysteries, are you into them?
I am. I actually love murder mysteries. I haven't watched too many, but I really like figuring out who did it.
The classic whodunit?
Yeah, the classic whodunit. It started, dude, I was like, when I was growing up in Eastern Europe and we got to watch like Scooby-Doo.
Oh, yeah.
That was crazy. That was like the first thing I'd ever seen like murder mystery-esque.
Oh, yeah.
And so like it was just every episode is like whodunit. And like in my head, I was like, you know, as a kid, like as an adult, you're like, obviously it was like the rich guy who owns the factory.
Yeah.
But like as a kid, you're like, oh my God, who could it be?
I can't believe it.
Exactly.
That's so true. I didn't even think of Scooby-Doo fully for like...
Like that's a murder mystery.
Yeah.
Except without the murder, but it's a mystery.
It's a mystery.
And I love solving mysteries.
Yeah. I mean, for me, we talked a little bit about this, but like I have a very low tolerance for like fear type stuff. So I don't watch a lot of like scary stuff.
Yeah.
I feel like murder mysteries often take like some parts of like horror, but mix it with like other genres as well to kind of like dilute whatever is so scary about the murder. It's not like a horror, like a crime film. Like it is at its core, but like they often like add comedic elements or like romantic elements, which is I think what attracts me most to the genre.
Yeah, I think so too. I think you hit it right on the dot. It's like it dilutes it, because I'm also like,
yeah, I
can't
know.
I cannot watch a scary movie. Like I watch them with my girlfriend, like I'm the one huddling up next to her, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it's like they dilute it, like you said. And I mean, both these movies were super funny. Like I was really laughing on especially Clue. Like,
yeah,
it's really old humor, but it's so funny.
It
holds up so well.
I was watching, like, I was thinking about other murder mysteries I'd seen, and I think one thing that really summed it up well for me is I watched the old trailer for Charade. Have you seen Charade?
I have not.
With Cary Grant and Audrey Hepburn.
Nope.
And, like, I don't have, like, a specific attachment to the film, but I remember, like, it's one of the murder mysteries that I've seen, and the trailer is just... of like a graphic of a blender.
What?
And in the blender they add like literally the word suspense, the word comedy, and the word romance, and then they blend it all together, and that's what produces Charade the movie. And that's like how they market the film, as like a blend of comedy, romance, and suspense. And that is Charade, but I think it also applies a lot to like other murder mysteries as well. Mm-hmm. Like the genre seems to draw from all of those elements a lot, which I really like.
Yeah.
I think another part of murder mysteries that like is so crucial is like building anticipation.
Right.
And like your investment is like the key part.
It's the most important thing. It's what keeps you there.
Yeah. And what's so like for me, like what drives that engagement is like the pacing of a murder mystery, which is I find like really unique to other films as well, is like in a lot of murder mysteries, you get this high contrast of, like, intense chase scenes. And we see this in, like, both of the films. Like, intense running around the house. Intense what just happened, who killed him. Fast-paced sections. And then they're, like, highly, highly contrasted by, like, slow, drawn-out, like, interrogation scenes. Or, like, searching for evidence scenes, or like in Bodies, 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 we've got like these slow hiding, or like because they're playing this kind of manhunt, like hide and seek type game, and there's like these slow. So this contrast that they have in the pacing of so many murder mysteries, especially the ones that we talk about today, so engaging. Like I love that it switches back and forth, and it's not like the general structure of like build up, build up, build up, climax, build down, build down, build down. Yeah. It's like we're flipping back and forth between fast, slow, which is so fun. I really like that part. And then the other thing I was thinking about is like that connects both the films you're talking about is the role of like setting and how they're both set in mansions.
Yeah, that's what I was like. I was like, because I had never watched Bodies, Bodies, Bodies before. Okay. Yeah. I didn't even watch the trailer. Like, I didn't know anything about it.
I don't think I've seen the trailer actually.
Yeah? Dude, I don't know about you, but I went in completely blind.
Yeah.
Like, I did not know what to expect.
Yeah.
But, yeah, when they, like, show up to the mansion, like, obviously, like, I haven't watched Clue before, but I used to play the game all the time when I was a kid, so I knew there was in a mansion. But, like, I'm looking at the mansion in Bodies, 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 and I'm like, are you serious? Like, both of them take place in a mansion. It's a good setting for these kinds of things. It's, like, a big space. There's, like, a bunch of, like, passageways and like rooms that you don't know, that you're not sure about. And then like in Bodies, 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 something that was so important I feel like for the movie was how dark it was.
Yeah,
like they were just using their flashlight on their phone. And at least to me, I was like, oh my, like what if they run out of battery? They were using flashlights. Like it's also like it's like in Five Nights at Freddy's 4.
It's
a video game, but like they just like it's terrifying because you have a flashlight, because you can't see anything else.
Yeah,
and that's kind of like,
oh my gosh,
it's like, because it builds on that, like you were saying, like was it your roommate was telling you that it wasn't scary, but it was very like very suspenseful?
Yeah,
because it is, because like when it's really dark, I mean it's like the same thing, it's like thalassophobia, it's like you don't really know what's in the water, you don't like, it's just dark, it's like open, like what could be there, the killer could be there.
Totally. And I feel like the angles they get, like they don't really have this as much in Clue. It's very, you can like see what's going on a lot of the time. It's like brighter. I mean, in some sections it gets darker, but in Bodies, Bodies, Bodies specifically, they really take advantage of the fact that you just kind of have like this small line of sight with like small little light coming from a phone flashlight.
Yeah.
Not even like a lamp or something.
Right, exactly.
And you don't know what's going on behind them. Oh my gosh. Like, I almost couldn't handle it.
Really?
I was sweating a lot.
Whoa.
I was very stressed.
Yeah. I was really invested, but that like that tells you like the level like of the filmmaking. Like we were both invested in completely different ways, right? Like I was like super into it, and I'll get into this later. But I was like, "What's gonna happen?" I was trying to figure out the whole. And this is part of why I love murder, like murder mysteries. It's like, who done it?
Yeah,
I want to know, and I'm like thinking the whole movie, kind of like meta analysis as well. I'm like, who's done it, who makes the most sense that did it, not just from like the in the thing, but also like I try to like be smarter than the filmmaker.
I know you were trying to guess. At some points I have to give up because I tried to guess. Okay, we want to get into like who done it, who we thought was doing it the whole time. We'll get into it. I want to circle back really quickly because I was looking into like what is our obsession with setting murder mysteries in like rich people's mansions, because like time and time again we see it.
True.
Both of these films, like the ones I'm thinking of are like Glass Onion, like the Knives Out mystery, ones, like it's a rich person inviting everyone over and then they're all in this huge mansion, so there's like this class element to all of these murder mysteries. And I was just really interested, like, where is that coming from? Like, why are we so obsessed with this? I looked into, like, a little bit, and some ideas around it, from what I understand, is, like, detective fiction, like, murder mystery literature, like, was, like, in its heyday in the, like, early, mid-1900s. And that, like, reflected the time and, like, all of the class divides that were happening. And that's not to say there's not, like, serious class divides still happening. But, like, that's what the stories were telling. They were talking about, like, these huge class divides between the wealthy and the poor, and the writers like wanted to expose basically the ruling class for like their corruption or like whatever's going on beneath the surface of just like a wealthy perfect facade.
Well, that's Clue.
Yeah,
that's like all of Clue.
Yeah. And but it's like applies in different ways, like whether it's exposing like financial corruption, like there's also this like social corruption that they're like exposing between the friendships, like in Bodies, Bodies, Bodies. Like there's just this idea of like someone being more privileged than someone else, and the murder mystery genre being obsessed with exposing, mm-hmm. okay, what's, like, actually underlying, like, this privilege? And, like, what's lurking below, like, what we see from the elite class?
Yeah.
And so I think, from what I understand, and, like, I can feel it too, like, viewers have an obsession with, like, seeing people who are, like, considered above us in class or in whatever way having their secrets exposed, having, like, their affairs exposed, like, all of their corruption exposed. Like, we like to see that exposition and ultimately see that, like, the rich are responsible for, like, their own demise in the end and stuff like that. So I thought that was really interesting of, like, okay, why are we seeing this time and time again in a mansion?
Yeah.
I think there's some sort of, like, serious obsession with, like, seeing the demise of the rich or something like that.
I feel like that's just, like, perpetual of our time.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that's just always... I think that's just a human thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because even, yeah, like, you just look back at everything and, like, you know, 14, 1500s, like, they talk about that stuff too. It's just always a thing. But I find it so curious how you bring up, like, the class divide and, like, the corruption element. Yeah. Because in Bodies, 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 what I was, like... Like, they really put that out there because everyone in the house is rich except for the main character, right? Except for, who was it? B?
B? B, yeah.
Yeah, except for B. Everyone else there is, like, super wealthy. They even have, like, a part in the end when Sophie has the gun, when one of the girls, I'm trying really hard to remember, man. I'm pretty sure it was Alice who was, like, she was being told that her parents weren't, like, rich. They're upper middle class.
Yeah.
And, like, that was, like, a big thing. But it's all played for gaffes, for goofs, you know? But that's... Yeah. And that's, like, you're so right. Like, it's just exposing, like, the moral corruption. And, like, everyone... Yeah, everyone's just doing drugs. Everyone's doing all this. And, like, everyone's, like, having fun. But B isn't, like, doing any of that. You know, mm-hmm. she's not... Like, she's the only person we don't see do any drugs or anything else. Like, even Jordan, who was, like, you know, she went to rehab. Even she did a line, you know, in the movie. And it's, like, I don't know. It just, like, it juxtaposes everything. And besides that, like, B was the only person to, like, actually do anything, you know? Like, everyone else was just kind of freaking out, running around.
Yeah.
B was the one. She was, like, she killed Greg, right?
Yeah.
That was crazy, though.
Okay, yeah, so, disclaimer.
Yeah.
Not only is, like, we've got setting is really important to the genre, but also, arguably, the most critical genre to discuss the ending, because the whole thing's leading up to, like, exposing something. So we have to tell you, okay, it could be argued that it's a very important genre to not discuss the ending in the name of, like, saving the surprise. We don't save the surprise on this show.
No, if you're listening to this, you're cooked, like...
Yeah. We tried to warn you that we were talking about these films on Instagram, so if you don't check our stories, like, that's on you.
That's on you, bro.
We're going to talk about who was killed because we have to.
Yeah.
So why don't we just get into Bodies, 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 because we're already talking about it. So if you haven't seen it, you're going to find out what happened. But this film, it came out in 2022. It's a group of, like, 20-something-year-olds, and they all plan this, like, party in one of their mansions during a hurricane. And it's, like, this remote mansion, and they're all kind of crazy. And they end up, like, playing a game called Bodies, Bodies, Bodies that leads into all of this death. It's very horrible. And that's basically the rough plot. We've got a great ensemble cast. Yeah. Insane. I think that's...
Cast was so good.
That's all I knew about it, really. Yeah? Was that Rachel Sennett and, like, Pete Davidson were in it.
They were really good. Except for, I don't know, Pete Davidson, I'm not really a big fan of him.
But as a person?
No, just in general. I don't find him funny. But okay, I found him funny here. I found him funny because everyone was poking fun at him. And I was like pointing and laughing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was good. But your first reactions, like, you didn't like it.
No. And this is the thing. Like, here, let me explain what I was thinking. And I spoke about this with, like, 5-6 people since I watched the movie.
Good.
Like, I was so invested. I really, really liked Bodies, Bodies, Bodies. If there was, like, an intermission in the movie and you would have spoken to me outside... Because we watched it together, right? Like, if you would have spoken to me right there, if you would have paused the movie and be like, what do you think so far? I would have been like, dude, I love this movie.
Yeah.
It's so funny. It's, like, it's really creative. It's really well done. The acting is, like, phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
But the end, I'm going to spoil it here. This is your last warning. But the end where they found out that P Pete Davidson wasn't actually killed by anyone. He killed himself by accident by being an idiot. Like, I was so invested up to that point. Like, they reveal it at the end. And I'm like, I have this idea of who it is. And they don't prove anything. Like,
yeah.
And, like, I'm mad because I was wrong.
Yeah.
Like, that's pretty much it. Like, that's what it boils down to.
So you're bitter.
I am very bitter about the ending. But it's, like, because it's a well-done movie.
Yeah.
But I, like, oh, man. It's just, like, I'm fine with getting it wrong. Like, in Clue, I got it wrong. But the reason I'm okay with it being in Clue is because someone did it.
Yes.
The reason I don't like it in Bodies, Bodies, Bodies is because no one did it. Yeah.
Yeah. It kind of subverts the main expectation that there is a who in the whodunit.
Yeah, it's just like done it.
It happened.
Yeah.
There's nothing else to tell you.
Yeah. But it is a silly movie.
Yeah.
Like, it is very funny. It's just like, I'm bitter. But it is great.
And that's like make or break for you, like the ending, disappointment?
Yeah, kind of. I'm very much like that with movies. I think the ending is the most important part of any movie.
Okay. Well, okay. What else did you like about it? Like, what else was going on, like, during the main section that you really enjoyed?
I liked how B was just B.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she was just always herself. Like, even, yeah, like, she lied about her going to university, and she lied about this, and she lied about that, but she was, like, legit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she put, like, she didn't change who she was. She wasn't saying anything to be fake or anything. Everybody else in there hated each other.
Yeah.
Like, everyone hated each other. And even, who was dating in there? It was Emma and David. They hated each other's guts.
Yeah.
And even Greg and Alice, they knew each other for 2 weeks. And nobody liked Jordan. But everyone, when she showed up, everyone was like, oh my God, hi.
Yeah.
Like, yo, where you been? Like, whatever. But like, they all hate each other.
Yeah.
And B was the only person that was like, for real. She was the only person that was legit. And she was the only person that, while, you know, before the ending was revealed, you knew didn't do it. Everyone else had a motive. Everyone else, like, that's why I was so, like, because, again, this is why I don't like, because everything was a red herring. Like, you had no way of, like, I'd be so surprised if someone figured out that it was like, no one killed anyone.
Yeah.
Like, just watching the movie without knowing the ending.
Yeah.
Like, hats off to you. You know what I mean? But, like, everyone hated each other. Everyone had a motive. And I think that was so important to the plot.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what really invested you. Because another thing, and, like, I want to talk about this as well, is, like, when in murder mysteries, the characters are also so important, like the personality of each character.
Yeah.
And I think it's so important that every character is distinct from one another, like very clearly distinct, like in Bodies, 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 everyone was super different from one another,
yeah.
Right? So I think that having that and then having be so far removed from everyone, because everyone is like, you know, all the rich people, they're all like rich people, but they're all like different rich people.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, they're all rich people.
Exactly.
B isn't. And so B is so fundamentally different as a human being that you can't, like, you have to root for her. You love her. Like, mm-hmm. I love the character of B so much. And it just gets you so invested. The characters and their relationships get you so invested in the mystery as well, not just the story.
Absolutely. Yeah, I feel like they, like, really fleshed out the characters in this one, like, compared to something like Clue. Not to pin the films against each other, but yeah. I think that's, like, part of why I really enjoyed and was invested in Bodies, 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 maybe in a different way from Clue, but I don't think it was ever important in Clue for you to be completely invested in the characters, because the whole point is that anyone could have done it.
Yeah.
And we'll get into that, because they have different ideas of, like, what the type of murder mystery they're trying to, like, show, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's okay, and we don't have to, like, compare those. But I think, like, a big draw for Bodies, Bodies, Bodies for me compared to Clue was that there was, like, a lot more characterization. Like, you got in depth, like, in the head of how they were all feeling and how they felt towards each other. And that was, like, exposed throughout, which is what I like. Because, mm-hmm. like you said, when they first get there, like, Sophie and B get there, and everyone's, like, sharing some glances, and you're like, oh, what's going on here? But by the end, you get to see, like, why do they all hold these huge grudges against each other? Why are they all lying to each other? And there's a lot beneath the surface, mm-hmm. of these characters. And you say B was probably your favorite?
B is 100% my... Actually, no.
Didn't you also think she did it, though?
B? No. I thought Sophie did it. The whole movie, I was like, Sophie did it.
Really?
Yeah, the whole movie. I was like, in my head, I was like, no one else would have done it. No one else. It was like...
Wait, why would Sophie have done it, though?
Because she was like resentful to everyone. But everyone was resentful, right? But my thinking was, everyone was resentful, but everyone else was an idiot except for Jordan. But in my mind, Jordan is such an obvious red herring.
Oh, yeah.
That's why I was like, it's got to be Sophie. Because I was like, it's not Emma. It's not Alice. And so it's between Sophie, B, Jordan, and Greg. Greg dies, so it's not Greg. And then it's Jordan, Sophie, B. And then when it was like down to... And then so in my head, when I was down to these three characters, I was like, okay, B is the one person we've seen this whole movie. So there's no way she did it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So like I can cross B off the list. So now it's Sophie and Jordan. But because we only see them... Like we see them relatively at the same time, usually. So then, yeah, my mind went to, if I was a story maker, what kind of story would I make? I would make Jordan red herring and then Sophie the killer.
Okay.
And I think, and then that's why I got bamboozled at the end, because it's just Sophie and B.
Yeah.
And then I was like, I was so invested because I was like, I got it right. I was like feeling so good about myself. I was like, I knew it was Sophie the whole time. And then no one did it. And I was like, oh my God.
That is disappointing.
Yeah.
I think the hack is not analyzing that in depth, and then you can't get disappointed by the ends of movies.
Probably. That is probably
the So maybe the thing. You could try that next time. Just don't think as hard, okay?
Yeah, I'll try.
Yeah. What did you think about their, like, generational commentary? Because, like, I think, like, a lot of what people are talking about is they toss a lot of, like, Gen Z buzzwords in to kind of poke fun at, like, the ridiculousness of our generation, and then making the larger picture of that, the ridiculousness of our generation in the setting of like a death, and turning it, obviously, like, it seems like he was murdered at the beginning. You can't blame them for thinking
they
that
have
he was.
I mean, it's a bloody sword,
yeah,
and the guy's neck is slashed. Like, like,
but it's turned into this whole thing that also stems out of the game that they were playing, which is basically faking death.
Yeah, I mean, you know what? If I'm being completely honest, if you put a bunch of 20-something, like, rich 20-something-year-olds, they would react like that.
Yeah.
To a murder. I think, like, realistically, they would be throwing around, like, all these buzzwords that, like, we throw around. Like, I've been throwing around words this whole podcast.
Yeah.
I probably would do the same, just out of the stress. But, like, I like it. I like how cheesy it is. Usually I don't like it when movies have all these like Gen Z like words, slang.
Yeah.
Like I just think usually it comes out very like disingenuous. But I think the point of it was to be disingenuous, so that's why it worked so well.
Yeah, that's the thing. I think there is like a certain level of self-awareness in this film that comes through. Like even at the beginning of the game when they're like, Emma is saying, "Can we please not play bodies, bodies, bodies? Someone always ends up crying, like everyone is always mean and mad at each other by the end." And then they're like, I forget who says it, but one of the other characters is like, oh, that's what makes it fun.
Yeah.
So they all know that like something horrible happens, but there's like a love for the game and there's a love for the thrill and even the fighting, which is even like us watching the murder mystery. Like we love to see it.
True.
And I like that like self-aware level of like, yeah, it's horrible. Like people are going to like cry and fight by the end, but like, that's what's so entertaining about it. Like, come on.
Yeah.
And I think that's the same with, like, the slang that they throw in. Like, they're self-aware about it. Like, even in the way that Pete Davidson, one of the best parts is, like, when he's like, don't say I'm gaslighting you. Like,
yeah,
gaslighting
that was so funny.
Gaslighting is a made-up word. And he's so problematic because, like, the roots of, like, how she, from my perspective, the roots of how Emma feels, whether she's saying gaslighting or not, are very valid. He's, like, being a total dick.
He's just being an asshole.
But then he goes on this huge rant of how, like, just because people say it on TikTok and Twitter or whatever doesn't mean it's a real thing. Like, gaslighting isn't real. Such a good part.
It's like, oh, man. I think it's actually from an actual meme that
was
popular a few years ago. I remember seeing that meme. I would joke about it with my friends.
Yeah.
I would be like, no, I'm not I think the meme was, it's like, no, babe, I'm not gaslighting you. Who taught you gaslighting? Was that one of your friends? You know your friends always teach you weird words. It's like that's what he was literally... that's why I found it so funny. And that's why I found Pete Davidson so funny.
Yeah.
In this movie. It's because everyone was poking fun at him. Because he was like the punching bag.
Yeah, he definitely was.
He was.
I thought he was good, though.
He was good. In this, he was really good. As much as I don't like... I mean, I just don't have a taste for Pete Davidson's humor.
Yeah.
In this, I really enjoyed his humor.
You said you were also into, like, the score.
Yes.
And the music.
I really enjoyed
it. What did you like
it.
About it?
I liked how it, like, it elevated every scene,
mm-hmm.
like, really well. Like, we were talking a lot about the music and, sorry, not about the music, about the, like, lighting
mm-hmm.
and how it's, like, really, like, enclosed space. Like, the camera just shows, like, the character being lit up by the phone and then everything else is, like, dark.
Yeah.
And it feels really claustrophobic and really, like, scary. And I think the music really elevates that just because of, like, how eerie it is and how, like, it, like, kind of makes your skin crawl a little bit. And then watching it, like, in the theater with the thing, I was like, ugh, you know, like, what's going on?
Yeah.
It makes you, like, stand on your toes. It makes, like, the hair on your arms stick out.
Yeah, it's a horrible, stressful feeling.
Yeah.
So we're going to play it for you. We want you to feel that way, basically.
I'll close my eyes so that I can really feel the real emotion.
Yeah, get into it.
Yeah, here, so I can really get into it.
This one's Jealousy Into Light, Epic Suspense. Here you are.
Thank you.
All right. Thoughts on this song?
It's so good. It's actually so good, this whole soundtrack.
Yeah.
Like, I love how... because it's, like, so modern, but it keeps so many of the tropes of, like, music that you'd expect in, like, murder mystery movies.
Yeah.
It's, like, it's such a perfect take on, like, music that would be relevant for that kind of movie in, like, the 21st century, in, like, you know, 2020s. Mm-hmm. So good. I love techno. I love garage. I love jungle. I love drum and bass. I love, like, all of it. So this is, like, right up my alley.
Okay, good.
I'm probably going to come out of here listening to the soundtrack, if I'm being completely honest with you.
Yeah, good. It's so good. This one's definitely my favorite. This is Jealousy Into Light. And by the way, the composer's Disaster Piece, if you want to look them up.
That's their name? Disaster Piece?
Like, that's the artist on
Sick name.
Apple Music. That's what they go by.
Crazy name.
Yeah.
Dope.
But yeah, that was Jealousy Into Light. I also really like Who Killer. We played a little bit of that at the beginning of the episode, if you caught. We intro'd to Who Killer, and it has a very, like you're saying, like taking elements of, like, kind of feels like familiar,
yeah,
to another mystery murder type film,
yeah,
but new as well. Okay, that was Bodies, Bodies, Bodies. Let's get into Clue, the other film that we watched this week. At the Norm, another awesome, awesome, awesome murder mystery. So this is 1985. If you haven't seen it, it stars Tim Curry and, like, also a huge and amazing ensemble
cast.
It's directed by Jonathan Lynn. And basically, to sum up the plot, six guests are anonymously invited to a strange mansion for dinner. Surprise, surprise. And after their host is killed, they must cooperate between themselves and also, like, there's some staff at the mansion to try to figure out who the murderer of their mysterious host that invited them is. And, like, the bodies pile up throughout the night. It's epic. They're running room to room. What stands out to me, obviously, we can talk about this right off the bat, is that Clue, it's a murder mystery story at its core level, but it's also, like, part of a larger genre of, like, game and toy adaptation films,
mm-hmm.
which is also so cool. I haven't seen a lot of, like, adaptations from a board game specifically. Like,
yeah.
I think we've seen kind of more and more, like, video game film and TV adaptations,
mm-hmm.
but from a board game, I think that's so awesome.
Yeah, especially a game like Clue, because a game like Clue doesn't really have a story. You just sit down with friends and you're like, who did it?
Yeah.
You just play a murder mystery.
You said you grew up playing Clue.
I did.
Yeah,
I was, same. I would always go to my uncle's house in like the countryside,
mm-hmm.
and we just play it with, like, a big group of people, and it was always
so fun. I know. Well, so that's the thing about adaptations, is that, like, people have a knowledge of them already, like most people, from, like, the original source material. A lot of the time, like, it's coming from a book, like a film is being adapted from the source, and you're kind of in the back of your head, you're thinking about that book, or you're thinking about the movie that came before it that this is, like, remaking. And so in this case, the source, like, we're talking about is this board game that was invented in 1943.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa.
By British board game designer Anthony Pratt.
Anthony Pratt. What a legend.
What a legend. Because Clue is literally the best board game ever.
It's the best board game.
I love it.
There's no board game that comes close. I love Catan, but Clue is, like, the best.
They should make a Catan movie.
Oof, I don't know how they do that.
Me neither.
But they did it with Clue, so who knows?
Clue is literally... how did they not make a movie about it earlier? Well, I guess this was a long time ago. And there's, like, more in the works for it. I feel like they float the idea of remaking it a lot.
Really?
But officially, there was something said this year, April 2024, that said they're going to remake it.
That'd be awesome. If they find, like, a stacked cast.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, because for the time, this cast was nuts.
Yeah.
I mean, it is, even, like, today, it holds up really, really well.
Yeah, absolutely. We
it's
talked
crazy.
A lot about Tim Curry, like, last week because we were on Rocky yeah. Horror, so... love that guy.
You know who I like? When I was looking, the cast,
mm-hmm.
I was like, oh my god, I recognize one of the characters, and I was like trying to figure out who was it? Michael McKean.
Yeah.
He's Jimmy's brother in Better Call Saul. Like, he's in the movie, dude. Like, I was blown away by that fact. Mr. Green.
Oh, Michael McKean. Yeah.
He's the brother in Better Call Saul. Like, I was crazy about that. But it was like, and Tim Curry. Like, I don't know. Like, I don't feel like I have to say much more about Tim Curry besides Tim Curry.
Yeah.
You know?
That's so satisfying when you think you recognize someone and then you find out what you know them from.
Right?
That's the best. Yeah, the cast was great. What I love about it the most for me is, like, I feel like in a lot of adaptations, you're just like, okay, you're inspired by the source material. We're going to, like, make a Pride and Prejudice movie or, like, whatever, whatever. Mm-hmm. They don't have to, like, directly reference the fact that, like, oh, this came from a book who was authored by this, blah, 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 blah. But Clue, like, takes complete comedic advantage of the fact that it came from a board game.
It's like one-to-one.
Yeah.
Even the house.
So funny.
I started laughing just when they opened the door and I saw the tiles. I was like, oh, my God, it's the tiles from the game. It's exactly. Literally a one-to-one recreation. It was so awesome.
And they don't try to hide the fact that they're coming from a board game.
Like, they're proud of it.
They're proud of it. They embrace it. And I love that. I think that's so unique. And one of the main, like, most obvious way that they embrace the fact and are very self-aware that they're coming from a board game. They're not just, oh, we're making a murder mystery with the same names. No. Like, it's the plot. And, like, all of the objectives are the same. But the endings. Mm. That's the main part that's like, okay, we're coming from a board game that can unfold in any which way because it's a board game. There's something like the probability of any which combination. It's like hundreds and hundreds of different combinations of what could happen in a board game. They can't do that in the movie, but they have three combinations of what could have happened. So if you haven't seen it, there's three different endings to Clue that explain, like, who done it.
Yeah.
And I think that's such an amazing way to, like, pay tribute almost to, like, that, okay, we're coming from a board game and we're going to, like, tell you that. We're going to show you that, like, this could have gone many different ways. And I don't really think you have to, like, pick your favorite ending or anything like that. It's just, like,
it's just fun.
It's just fun.
It's like a game.
And originally they just played, from my understanding, like, it was randomly assigned to theater.
Yeah, without telling them that it was, this is what I was talking about this with, with Fernando.
Mm-hmm.
And Fernando was telling me, yeah, like, they just gave it to theaters.
Yeah.
And it was randomly assigned. Theaters had no idea. So no one knew besides the people that were distributing it that there were different endings.
Yeah.
So you'd go up to one of your friends, you'd be like, yo, I just watched a new Clue movie. And they'd be like, oh my God, I can't believe that, like, Miss Scarlet did it.
Yeah.
They'd be like, Miss Scarlet? It wasn't Miss Scarlet, it was Mrs. Peacock.
Yeah.
They'd be like, it wasn't Mrs. Peacock. And then the other guy would be like, no, it was Wadsworth.
That's crazy because that literally sends you into, like, it's a marketing scheme, basically. Then you're talking in the language of the game. Because that's genius. How you talk when you play the game. You say, no. What are you talking about? I'm sure of it.
You're so right. I just realized that. Yeah.
You sounded like you're playing the game. That's how they get you.
Yeah.
Why aren't all movies like that?
This is such a clever movie. That's why I love it so much. It's so clever. Even at the end.
Yeah.
In, like, the true ending, right? Because it says, because I watched the version that I watched played all three endings.
Yes.
So I got to watch all of them back to back to back. So the first one was with Miss Scarlet. The second one was with Mrs. Peacock. And then the last one was where Wadsworth revealed that he was the one behind it all.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And he was actually the guest. Or, like, not the guest, the host. And so I thought it was so clever because in the real one, that, like, the one that's like, okay, now this is what really happened.
Yeah, because each of the segments are titled something different. You've got, like, segment ending A is how it might have happened.
Yeah.
Ending B is how about this? And then ending C is what you're talking about, right? Yeah. Which is here's what really happened.
Yeah. And then the here's what really happened. It was so funny. I remember this so much. Like, the whole theater started clapping and laughing out loud was when Wadsworth went, I killed Mr. Body in the hall with the thing, he did it, like, in the game, and I started cackling in the theater. Everyone started laughing, and literally everyone started clapping.
Yeah.
As soon as that happened, it was so fun. It's so clever, because, like you said, it just, like, I feel like a lot of properties nowadays are so ashamed to be like, we come from a book or we come from a game or whatever. This movie was all about the game.
Yeah.
It was like, how can we give the experience that you have playing the game in the movie? Like, how can we make an audience feel the same emotions as people playing the game? And I think it did it so well.
I totally agree. I was thinking about that as well. Like, not only structurally are they, like, making the movie feel a little bit like a game of, like, oh, it could have gone this way, it could have gone this way. But they're giving, like, verbal reference to the game. Yeah. Like you're saying, like, at the beginning, they're like, they had a motive. But who was it? Where was it? And with what? Like, those are the exact three objectives of the game, and they spell it right out for you. And then exactly what you're talking about, literally one of my favorite lines in the whole movie. It's like in the third ending, and I think it was Green, after killing Wadsworth / Mr. Body, he exposes that he was Mr. Body the whole time. And Green says, "I did, in the hall, with the revolver." And then he says, "I'm going to go home and sleep with my wife."
That was so funny. That everyone started clapping again when he did that.
Yeah.
It was, oh man. I was actually, here, I want to talk about this as well. Like, I was telling you about how in like, Bodies, I was wondering who did it.
Yeah.
I had no idea and clue. I couldn't piece it together. Until, like, around the end, I started being like, something's up about Mr. Like, I knew, I wasn't sure who did it, but I knew for a fact it wasn't Mr. Green.
What?
I knew for a fact it wasn't Mr. Green.
Why?
Because something, like, because we didn't know anything about him.
Yeah.
Because even though everyone else was anonymous, we didn't know anything about him. Like,
yeah.
And so that's what tipped me off. But I wasn't, like, satisfied enough to make a call.
So were you very bitter, very mad about to give half stars when you were seeing the first two endings?
No. Because I thought, because it gave you an ending.
Okay, okay.
Because like in...
But it wasn't Mr. Green.
It wasn't Mr. Green. No, I didn't think it was Mr. Green. I didn't think it was him. I knew for a fact it wasn't him. That's what I'm trying to say. Like, I wasn't sure. It could have been, like, in my mind, I was like, it's Miss Scarlet. It could be Miss Scarlet. It could be Yvette. It could be Mrs. White.
Okay, yeah, I see. But what I was like, saying.
But 100% not, it's not Mr. Green. That was my thinking.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
But I don't know. I felt like even though I didn't get it, like, even if I would have guessed, like, as it was going, my guess was that it was either Wadsworth or Mrs. White, leaning more towards Mrs. White. I thought Wadsworth kind of as like a throwaway, like, it could be him. It'd be really smart if it was him.
Yeah.
But I think it's Mrs. White, just kind of as a guess. But I wasn't mad in this. I wasn't, like, bitter because I feel like it gave a really good explanation and because of how funny it was.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it didn't take itself seriously at all.
Yeah.
It was so funny. And I love that comedy. It's like this old, like, old-timey comedy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I totally know what you mean. I love this type of comedy. And, like, part of it also was that it's, like, they're all, the whole thing at the end is playing into this three-ending gimmick,
mm-hmm.
which for me is trying to tell you, like in the game, it could have been anyone. Mm-hmm. Like, depending on the way it plays out, you couldn't really deduce, like, who was it from being the viewer.
Yeah.
Which is fine for me because I'm not really the type to try to figure it out. Like, I'm not, like, analyzing at that level. So that's why I appreciate this because it really didn't matter.
Yeah.
The film, like, constantly changes who's the villain. Like, in the first two endings, like, Wadsworth has just kind of this detective, like, discovery. And in the third ending, he's got, like, this villainous, like, grin.
Yeah.
They're constantly, like, switching up who's the hero, who's the villain, because it's not important. Like, whether the audience discerns, like, who did it or who didn't, like, you couldn't really. Because they expose those aspects at the end. They're like, oh, by the way, these two people were connected via their husband. Like, it's kind of random in that way.
Yeah.
Which is also has a bit of a layer of, like, unsatisfying because, like, you couldn't tell whether someone was, like, their husband was sleeping with the maid. Like, you'd never know that until the end.
Right. But that's also why it's, like, I'm not so frustrated with this one because it's, like, I had no way of knowing.
Yeah.
You know? Like, I feel like as much as I would I could have, like, really tried to piece things together, and I tried at the very beginning.
Mm.
By, like, a midway point, I was like, oh, this is just a silly movie.
You're not supposed to, like, analyze
it. Exactly. You're just supposed to have fun.
You're just, yeah. And I totally agree.
It does it so well.
Yeah.
It's actually, like, I've never, like, I've heard very few theaters laugh as often as people were laughing
really?
In this one.
Oh, that's so awesome.
It was so funny. And I was watching it with a few friends as well.
Yeah.
And they were also laughing. Like, we kept, like, looking back and, like, laughing.
Yeah.
And doing all these jokes.
That's so fun that you saw it in theaters, like, for the first time.
Yeah.
Because, like, where else is playing Clue from 1985?
That's what's
right
so
now?
Awesome about The Norm, man. We play, like, really old school movies sometimes that you won't find anywhere else in a theater.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
It's so good. And that, I mean, this was awesome.
It was a really good one.
Yeah.
I honestly am due for a rewatch of it already.
Man, I'm due for a replay of it. I want to play Clue again. I haven't played Clue in years.
Yeah, that's so true.
When was the last time you played Clue?
Like, yeah, years and years and years ago.
Years.
I played in my neighbor's backyard a lot, actually.
Yeah? Who did you choose? Who, like, if you could pick, who would you always pick? Do you remember?
I think that, like, at the age we were playing,
yeah,
when, like, we'd want to be either, like, Miss Peacock or Miss Scarlet.
Yeah?
That's, like, because I remember, like, it was just, like, me and my three, like, girlfriends, and we all wanted to be, like, one of the girls. So we'd all fight over the girls because there were four of us. But, yeah, what about you?
I like Mustard.
Mustard?
Mustard was always my guy.
He's, like, a dignified fella.
Right? Like, that's why I like him so much. He's, like, regal.
Yeah.
Like, in this one, he's a colonel.
Yeah. His exposing what he did was funny because they're also, like, dealing with all these ideas of corruption. All of them, like, do kind of messed up things. Like,
what do you mean, kind of? They all do really messed up things.
They all do really messed up things, but then they're balancing it with, like, quick cuts to, like, really funny parts, yeah, which I like as well. Like, and it's not too heavy.
What I just remembered is, like, We're talking a lot about in Bodies, Bodies, Bodies about, like, the poking fun aspect, mm-hmm, and, like, the historical aspect of murder mysteries.
Yeah.
And I feel like Clue was made in 1985. So they were really, like, you know, they were in the thick of it when it was being made. And they have this joke in the third ending where they're like, oh, but this person keeps blackmailing us. Like, we did all these wrong things. And then someone says, it's like, the CIA, like they say something, it's like, do you really think the CIA is going to take care of these guys to shut the information up about all these people? And they're like, yeah. So it's like,
honestly, yeah.
Yeah, right?
They would.
And this is why it's so funny, because it's also, like, such a meta movie. It's like poking fun.
Yeah.
It's like the class divide.
Yeah.
All these people do really bad things, and they all, in the end, get away with it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And it's like, what was it? They did all these jokes with communism. It's like communism was a red herring.
Oh, yeah.
You know? And it's like your husband was a communist? No, he was a capitalist or something. Like, no, I'm a capitalist and I take information and I sell for money.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it's so funny. And it does such a good commentary. Because they're all from Washington, right?
Yeah. You find out that, like, the reason they're all there, surprise, surprise, they're all somehow connected to the government. They're all part of, like, this elite, like, group that has some control over people below them. So, like we were talking about before, exactly, like, it's got this very explicit tie-in to what we see so often in this genre, yeah, of, like, okay, but, like, let's unveil what's beneath all of this privilege, yeah, and, like, control is, by the way, all of them are really horrible people and have done horribly, yeah, corrupt things.
Do, like, you have a favorite character
in the film?
Yeah.
I think Wadsworth, like, I love the scenes at the end when he's explaining what's happening, yeah, and he's just, like, outrunning but out acting, like, everyone, because everyone's just chasing him, trying, yeah, to keep up with him, and he's got this energy that he brings. So I really like that section when he's trying to, like, deduce, like, what happened, and he's like, follow me, and he runs room to room to room to room to room.
Yeah.
And it just brings such great energy. So I would say probably Wadsworth.
Wadsworth is probably also my favorite.
Good.
He's the best.
One of my favorite scenes, actually, is where they play Shaboom. This is the scene when, super iconic, super iconic scene, is the police come, yeah, and there's dead bodies littering the entire mansion. And to hide the fact that they're dead is that the police, like, goes through the different rooms as Shaboom by the Crew Cuts play. And each of them are, like, pretending to make out with one of the dead bodies. And it's just so funny to me because it's got this, like, at its core, like, a very romantic song,
yeah,
playing in the background as they're all, like, pretending to hug and kiss. It's the so dead funny. People, the people that they've killed. That is probably one of my favorite scenes.
It was so funny. Oh my God. I completely forgot about that.
Did you have a favorite scene?
I think the end.
Yeah.
Where everyone is running around and it's just like, yeah, just Tim Curry, man.
I know. It's nice to see, like, all the buildup, like, come down to it. Like,
yeah,
okay, let's actually try to figure this out.
That's why that scene,
out,
I think, is so good.
Yeah, it's what we've been waiting,
yeah,
for.
Yeah, and again, going back to it, it's like that. It's like the game, because that's what you do in the game. You're like, okay, yeah, no. This is what happened.
Mm-hmm.
This person went to this room, and then they took the secret passage all the way over here, and then they went back, and then they went here, and now we rush, and it's just so funny when everyone is just running back and forth.
Yeah.
And I love that scene. And man, the Shaboom scene is so funny.
Let's
give
a listen to Shaboom.
Yeah, put it out.
It's so good.
It's so good.
If I could take you up in paradise up above, if you would tell me I'm the only one that you love, life could be a dream, sweetheart. Hello, hello again, Shaboom, and hoping we'll meet again. Oh, life could be a dream, if only all my precious plans would come true. If you would let me spend my whole life loving you, life could be a dream, sweetheart. Now every time I look at you, something is on my mind.
Da, 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 da.
If you do what I want you to,
baby, we'd be so far.
Oh, life could be a dream. If I could take you up in paradise up above, if you would tell me I'm the only one that you love, life could be a dream, sweetheart.
Shaboom, shaboom, ya la 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 la. Shaboom, shaboom, ya la 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 la. Shaboom, shaboom, ya la 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 la. Shaboom, 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 ya la 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 la. Shaboom, shaboom, ya la 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 la. Shaboom, shaboom, ya la 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 la. Shaboom. Time I look at you, something is on my mind. If you do what I want you to, baby, we'd be so far.
Okay,
life
yeah.
Could be a dream. I love that song.
It's so good. I love this one, and it just plays most best comedic timing ever.
Oh, it's so good.
That was, I'm pretty sure, like the only song that plays.
Yeah.
Which also, like, brings more notice to it, because the rest is kind of just a pretty, like, generic score in the background going on.
Yeah.
Nothing that stood out to me, at least.
Well, that was before, like, they really paid attention to the score as in a way to elevate a scene.
What?
Right?
Really?
Yeah. Like, there was a shift in filmmaking where they shifted from, like, the kind of scores that they did. Because before, the score was more, like, relaxed, and it wasn't meant to take center stage. It was meant to just be nice and
yeah.
be in the background. And it's like when they would run, like the music would go like bum, 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 and then they'd stop and go, and it's like the music would stop, right?
That's what it kind of felt like.
Yeah, well, but that's what it was. And then at some point it switched, and now you have like Hans Zimmer.
Yeah,
you know.
But yeah, I'm glad that they squeezed this song in, because it's so funny. Anyway, that was our little chat on Murder Mysteries. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you
episode.
So much for having me.
We hope to have you back soon.
I would love to come back on.
All right, well, you can catch us again next week. Same time, same place. We're going to be talking about like Halloween films. But thank you for listening to The Real World. We'll see you next time.